okay, let me start the conference call here. We'll order up this pizza before the guys get over here so we can have some food when we start to record tonight's episode. So let me call up Dor. Let's see here. Okay. Where's Steve's now? Okay, there's Steve's now. Let's call up Steve. Okay, great. Hey, guys, what's going on? It's Sean. I was going to order a pizza before you guys come over to record tonight over the edge. You guys offer pizza? Is that cool? Hello? Guys. All right, here we go. Okay. Why don't you tap once on the phone for yes? Give me two taps for no. Okay, so you guys want to get pizza? One at a time. You guys, Dor, you cool with pizza? Yeah, okay. Steve, you cool with pizza? Now, did you guys want me to get any chicken wings or anything? Yeah, okay. So, yes, chicken wings, okay. Hot, medium, mild. I'll get them medium. How's that? No. Oh, my God. One at a time. You know what? This is bullshit. You both can talk. Bring your own lunch. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Throwback Reviews Podcast. This is episode 9. This week we're doing Over the Edge, the 1979 film that I believe was the debut of Matt Dillon. Mm-hmm. But I'm not positive on that. I think it was. But before we get into that, my name's Sean and with me are the other hosts. And first up is Steve Cherubino. What's up, Steve?
What's up, Sean? How is it going?
It's hot. It's hot up here in Buffalo, unseasonably hot, but I shouldn't complain. It's better than snow.
Turn your air on.
I don't have air. Don't have central air. And
you should move to Florida.
I know
everybody has central air.
No. Soon enough, I'll get it. I'll have the window units in pretty soon, but it's still May, so it's a little early. But and also join us, our good friend, the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin. What's up, Steve?
Hey, man. How you doing? Except for the hot.
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, I'll say it was unseasonably muggy today, yet cool, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, we're
that doesn't make
hot.
Any sense.
We're,
I didn't think it did either, but it was.
We've had it cooler where it's like sticky. It gets kind of sticky like that.
Okay.
Okay, well, I got to make sure one thing before we actually get started. Steve, Did you watch Over the Top or Over the Edge?
I watched the Stallone movie.
Okay, just wanted to be sure.
Yeah, me too.
I should have watched Over the Top. It was probably better than this piece of garbage we're going to talk about.
Oh, man. And right from the get-go.
He's going for the knockout blow.
Yeah, right from the get-go. Well, Let me just kind of sum up the movie real quick, just for anybody who hasn't seen it. Over the Edge, it's about a new town that's kind of developing. I believe in Colorado from the license plate I've seen, but it doesn't really matter. But it's an up and coming town with the promise of, you know, bowling alleys and all this stuff, great for families. And what happens is they start changing their plans and they start trying to get more business and like industry type things in there. And the kids in the town, the young teens kind of take the back burner and they're kind of left to do whatever. And things start to get crazy with sex and drugs and rock and roll and everything. And, when it's kind of brought to the attention of the town and really only for the fact that they're trying to bring some investors into this town is when they really start paying attention to these kids starting some problems. It's kind of a little too late.
Yeah.
And the kids go over the edge and, gets pretty crazy towards the end of the movie. So
it's based loosely on a true story. Like it said in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. I think it said like on events of the 70s themselves, because it was saying something in the scroller in the beginning of the movie about like all the vandalism that happens.
Right. I think it was actually a community.
It wouldn't shock me, I'll say that. But I got a super quick correction to make. Back then, movies were different. While this was technically first released in 1979, it was released in Denmark in 1979. It was not released in the U.S. until December 1981, and that was only in limited release, and it didn't come out to a full release until February 1982.
Are you bringing this up to tell Sean that it's...
That's 80. I was thinking it's right on the 80s, 90s border.
Well, no, it's just to show that back then movies were really isolated to countries, and back then things were a little bit different. I swore this was the 70s as well. They were. Now, like, Iron Man comes out, Iron Man 3 comes out almost worldwide, almost in the same week.
That's because that's probably, you know, a big budget movie, and this movie was kind of crappy.
No, Steve. The world was different then.
It should have stayed in Denmark. It's all
we were much more disconnected.
Oh, man. Well, I know. I mean, I didn't see it, obviously, when it came out, but this was another HBO movie. So that's how I remember seeing it. And I have not seen this movie other than the rewatch this week. I hadn't seen this movie probably since the mid-80s.
Gotcha.
But it always kind of stuck in the back of my head. So, but yeah, I guess, Steve, did you ever see this before? Or this was your first time?
No, it's my first time. Never saw this movie.
How about you, Dor?
Even watching it, I don't believe any of it was really familiar or the people in it were familiar. So I have to say, no, I haven't.
All right. Well, why don't we get into it and you can tell me all that you hate about it, Steve. And Dor hasn't said yet either way, so I'm waiting for his opinions on certain things here. But with the movie opening, like Steve said, there is kind of a opening credits that explains that basically in the 70s there was a lot of crap happening with the kids and vandalism, I think it says. I'm not exactly sure. I didn't write it down and take notes, but it does give you a little thing in talking about New Granada, which is this town. Which I said in the beginning is supposed to be this new up and coming neighborhood, right? We see a nice big billboard sign,
right?
You know, bowling alleys, all this stuff. It's great for the, you know, get out of the cities and come here to this new town. It's going to be even better. And, one of the main attractions in this town for the kids is the rec center, and which kind of looks like an old aluminum air hanger, right?
Yeah, I thought that, or from Gomer Pyle days, like barracks almost.
Okay.
There was like a half-domed building, like a tube-esque design, all metal, cheaply built, but I'm sure the kids didn't care. It was just a place to hang.
Yeah, and it reminded me, you know, when I was a kid, we had the local Boys and Girls Club. And, you know, you have your pool tables, ping pong tables, basketball and stuff like that. And it had some of this stuff. But it also, I mean, it was very relaxed. The counselor there just basically, I mean, it shows a kid drinking right off the bat. He's got a bottle of liquor or something. You know, she's just, you know, asking him, like, what are you doing? There's really no guidance by her other than giving these kids somewhere to hang, I guess, instead of what would be the streets. Right. And we meet like, I'd say the two main characters, Carl and Richie. Carl, I don't even know who the actor is, Michael Kramer. I've never seen him before or after that I know of. Richie is, Matt Dillon, which I think he plays a part awesome, just like in, My Bodyguard. It's similar to the character in My Bodyguard.
He's even skinnier in this movie, and he acts even tougher in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's not greasy. Like, his hair is more just a long 70s feathered look instead of, like, kind of grease back hairdo. And their other buddy, what was our other? Claude?
Mm-hmm.
The skinny kid who has the overalls on a lot. I mean, he's a trip.
And Johnny.
And Johnny is the one person other than Matt Dillon. When I would think of this movie over the years, I would remember him because Johnny is I believe Claude's brother, maybe.
Yeah, he's like the Kenny of this movie.
He doesn't say a word, right. You know.
He just goes around on his board with his shades on.
Yeah, so I remember that kid a lot. So you get a feel in the rec center. It's just kind of a free for all. And then we get, like, on the highway, we get introduced to another character, Mark, who's on top of the highway overpass with one of his buddies, popping at cars with a BB gun.
Yeah.
And he ends up shooting the cop car. I mean, this kid has absolutely no regard for authority.
No respect for anything.
He clearly knows. Yeah, he totally knows it's a cop, shoots the cop car. And
left their butts off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. You know, let me take a step back. The opening music. What did you think of the music in this movie in general? But did you like the soundtrack of this movie and the opening?
I can't remember the song, but it was mainly classic rock. I'm not a huge classic rock fan, but I did like the music, actually. I did like the music in this movie. That was something I did enjoy. I thought it was the scenes where they put music, it fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it was Speak Now by Cheap Trick.
Yeah, see, I can't remember what the opening theme was, but I remember the music in general. And, dude, there was a lot of Cheap Trick.
Yeah, there was. I'm looking at the soundtrack, and yeah, the first four songs are Cheap Trick, and it's Speak Now, because I was like, all right, which one is that? I remember Surrender, and I checked it out. I didn't know. I thought the opening music was just like how we've been seeing lately, just music made for the movie or whatever. I mean, I'm not that I like Cheap Trick, but I've never really got into them, but I like the soundtrack.
Yeah,
and the Ramones were in there too, right?
I believe.
Yeah.
Hendrix was as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. And it definitely fit the mood when they started to play the music. And he put on the headphones that nowadays, it's like the kids, what is that headphone called?
Beats.
Beats. They're almost like that looking.
Yeah, they're the Beats of the 70s.
Yeah, did they have like the real long coiled up cord too, like a phone cord type cord?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I remember my father had those, and they were, you know, runovers from the 70s.
Yeah.
We used to wear them all the time.
I remember I had a pair, the cord had to be at least 10 foot long. And then you could like have it go straight and go like 25 feet. I'm like, who really needs a cord this long? But I abused it. I walked into the kitchen, got something to drink, you know. I'm not going to say I went to the bathroom in them.
Yeah, I think ours were like 6 or 8 feet coiled up, and they got stretched. So, but yeah. So, anyways, this guy Mark just pops a BB gun at the cop car. So we have this like kind of chase because they take off on their bikes. Awesome bikes in this movie. I love all the kids' bikes, man. The banana seats, the big high handlebars. We had one of those when I was a kid. That was probably bought at a garage sale from somebody that grew up in the 70s. That was like one of my first bikes. And as they're riding their bikes down, they come across like Richie and Carl, tell them to hide. And they take off on their bikes, like you said, just laughing about it. Now correct me. I don't know why. Did that Mark have a coon hat on? I don't know why. Just right now, I'm picturing him riding by on his bike with a coon hat.
I honestly cannot remember one way or the other. I will say one of them, I think, did have a hat on, but I'm
sure it wasn't a coon hat. I don't know why I'm thinking
it might be.
Why I'm thinking a coon hat. It's probably just a baseball hat on backwards or something. But they hide when they end up hiding behind a sign, and the police officer Doberman, he spots them. You know, and he already knows that Richie's trouble. And when he calls him out, what does he say? When you guys are done making out back there or something, why don't you come out?
Yeah.
And so they come out, and, you know, they're trying to say, you know, typical like teenage thing, being a smart ass. You know, oh, I lost a contact. And back then, like, you could probably get away with it. The cop is like rubbing, like opening his eye hole in his head, looking for his contacts. Knows he doesn't wear them. So he knows they're trouble anyways, probably can get something off them, puts him up against the car, and ends up finding a knife on Matt Dillon's character, Richie.
Is that illegal to have a pocket knife?
At least here, it was. If it was over 3 or 3.5 inches, then it was technically illegal.
His must have been barely that.
Yeah, because he had some kind of exchange with the cop and the size of something of his and compared to the size of his knife and, you know, being a complete smart aleck. I mean, he's just
this cop, really, believe it or not, like he's in the whole movie and he has a big part. But I believe even with all he's done that he's still a pretty tolerant cop for what these kids are saying and doing to him, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like he was looking to be a jerk. For no reason, I guess. Like, I think he knew what was going on. But the parents in this town didn't. And he was kind of like by himself, it seemed.
Right.
You know, he's trying to wrangle all these kids in this town with absolutely no help. Okay, so Dora's showing us a screenshot. It was a coon hat.
It was a coonskin cap. So I am not going to doubt you when you call out details again in movies.
Well, you should. I got lucky on that one. So yeah, he ends up taking them, the two of them, back to the station. He knows that they didn't shoot the car, and he's trying to get him to answer. Like, basically, he wants them to cough up who it was that shot the car. Yeah. Which was, I thought, a pretty memorable scene with Matt Dillon, basically saying that he has one rule that a kid that tells on another kid is a dead kid. Something to that. Well, I don't know if it's exactly what he said.
You might remember the scene because of that. I remember the scene because of his belt buckle.
Yeah.
Where the cop points out to his belt buckle, it's a big marijuana leaf. And he said, what's that? And he said, I think it's a flower.
Poison ivy.
Yeah, poison ivy. Yeah, it's poison ivy. I got it from a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was very proud of his one rule too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he was very proud because he was saying it. Was he saying it to Carl or it was the cop at the desk behind him, right?
Yeah. He's like, just tell us who it is. And what was the cop trying to, like, you know, pressure him by saying, look, you got a lot of crap on you, man. Just if you tell us who it is, we'll take it easy on you. And so many
ways. And that's the thing. Richie has got a long rap sheet, you know, and he's only like 14 or 15, these guys, right?
Yeah.
Because because Doberman tells him, like, another year, you're going to go up the hill, which is, there's a juvie hall, I guess. So they kind of threaten him with up the hill a couple times in the movie. And same with Carl. See, Carl is not known as a troublemaker yet. But he's hanging with the wrong crowd. Right. He's leaning towards, and he's trying to warn him, like, kid, you know, you got to straighten up. You too could be going up the hill. But he doesn't really, Carl just doesn't care, you know, because he kind of, I think, sees the way the town is turning. And he's, because his father, as we see, I think we have a cut scene. His father owns or operates the local Cadillac dealership. And we see an interaction of Carl's father with, the head of the, what is it? The,
like the town. I'm trying to remember. He's like, the neighborhood, committee chairman thing.
He's the homeowners association president. Yeah. So he's very involved with him in that. And, when his dad gets the call, he's talking with this guy. He's got to go and pick up Carl. And his father, when he gets Carl, same thing. He's telling him, he's hanging out with these kids. They're troublemakers. You can tell he's disappointed, right. But yet he's kind of, he's very consumed in what's going on in the town and what's going on with the homeowners association and bringing in some people from Texas, I think, are going to come in, you know, so he's concerned. You can tell he's concerned, probably more so than some of the other parents in this town.
Right.
Well, obviously by seeing late in the movie, but, and I'll say the thing that I remembered about this scene was the homeowners association guy's car and how the dad kept trying to push him to buy a brand new car. And this guy had a vintage, I don't even know what it was, but it was like in pristine shape. He had some convertible.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, It was definitely an older one that he was very proud of.
It was, yeah.
So we'll go to the next day at school where they're kind of talking about, you know, what happened and with the police and everything. And he's talking to Claude, who basically took some acid and is tripping in school. And, yeah, it's gotta be his brother. Johnny's gotta be his brother, because we see a couple scenes throughout the movie where they're in their bedroom and they have like some weird stuff going on their TV where it's just for pure psychedelic reasons.
It happened in a couple of their houses.
Yeah, you see it. You see Claude at one point when he's on the phone, and then Johnny later on in the movie when he's talking to Carl, he's in his room watching it. So so he's kind of flipping and sweating, and they have a big meeting in the auditorium about what's going on in the town, I guess, or what happened. And this is when Carl kind of is like getting flirty with this girl who is like, I don't know if she was older than him or what, but she was kind of like the girl.
Yeah.
You know? So they exchanged some looks right there. And Richie came into that. Do you remember when Richie came into this, to the auditorium late?
Yeah.
Again.
That was just like classic bad seed behavior. I had to pee. What? I had to urinate. That's the right word, right?
Yeah, in front of everybody. And Steve, feel free to jump in and bash this thing at any point you want to start.
There's parts I did like about it. I mean, I'm not going to bash the whole movie. There are some parts that when we get to them, I probably will start. But, you know, it wasn't as bad as I was leading on. But I want to know what you guys think about Matt Dillon's acting in this movie. Because you could tell he wasn't as seasoned as, you know, like he is now, I guess you could say. But what did you think? Did you think it was good or bad? I'm just curious. Sean, what do you think?
I thought it was good. Okay. I mean, I think I thought he played the part that he was supposed to play well. And for his first movie, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. What about you, Dora?
I'll say he made me believe he was a bad seed drug-taking kid, because I think he was a bad seed drug-taking kid. But I will say everything is in comparison. Not a lot of people in this movie, I think, had extreme acting talent, I'll say. It was, and most of the movie, it was just focused on the two or three kids that really didn't do much other stuff. So I believed Matt Damon was who he was.
Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan. More than the other kids in the movie.
Yeah, I thought he did pretty good. I thought he did pretty good. But there were some parts where you could tell he was kind of a new actor, I thought.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to, I'm sorry to derail, but I just was curious about what you guys thought.
No, that's fine. Because I thought for the character he was being, I thought he did better than like Carl and the Mark kid, who I think is, other than Matt Dillon making his comeback in the 90s, I think. I think he's the only one that I really think that went anywhere after was the kid that played Mark. He looked really familiar. I looked him up on IMDb the other day. I didn't really notice too much that he did, but I could tell he was familiar.
Well, yeah.
The kid with the BB gun.
I'll say just because when you look at him on IMDb, the picture is as a adult and he doesn't look horrible, then you know he at least tried to continue his career on.
I actually liked Carl, to be honest. I liked Carl in this movie. I thought he did good.
I went back and forth, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could tell there was a look in his eye at times where he questioned.
Yeah.
You know, his choices, what he was doing, where with Matt Dillon, Richie's character, he just...
He's bad to the bone.
Yeah.
He was all in. He really was, you know. He had a single mom.
And his mom was kind of in agreement with him being, bad.
Dude.
Like, the conversations they had.
Well, that was, like, me just believing the problem with kids most of the time, by most I mean virtually all the time, isn't kids. It's the parents. And that was a classic example of her just being perfectly fine when she picked him up from the cops. He just lied to her, and they both just laughed about it because he knew he was lying, and she knew he was lying. They, yeah.
Yeah, she did. It was no big deal to her. It was a joke, which is just, you know, more encouragement for a kid that is really just a delinquent kid. I mean,
it's tough to tell whether she just, you know, this is all she could do for him, or like she's probably tried in the past to make him good, or she's just kind of crazy herself.
Well, I'll say when she picked him up and they pulled up to what looked like, I can describe as best of my ability, to like a modern day project. When I picture the projects from the movies and stuff, this is what I picture: a complex of cheap apartments in a U shape, and it wasn't well taken care of or anything. So we got the impression she's not only neglectful towards her kid, but towards life in general. She just doesn't care.
Yeah, good one. I agree.
Yeah, and we even find out later, like her vehicle, right? It's like
she didn't make any payments on it.
Yeah, it was like a brand new Bronco or something.
Dude, I couldn't identify that thing to save my life.
I didn't either. I thought it was just like some sort of Jeep, but he refers to it as a Bronco. But anyway, so Carl does have a conversation with his father, asking him, you know, about the land across from the rec center, because when his father brings him home, they're passing this billboard I was talking about, where it says New Granada, New City Today or something like that. They're starting to cover it up with a new slogan. And his father says, you know, there's better reason for people to move to New Granada than just a bowling alley. Yeah. So he's kind of, this is when I think Carl is kind of having, you know, he's questioning what is going on. I thought this was supposed to be the family town or whatever. So you kind of can tell, and he's not happy about it.
Yeah.
But he does go to the rec center. Everyone's going to meet up at the rec center that night. And, I think Claude ends up buying some hash or something. Yeah. He doesn't want to do any more acid. Well,
and I just saw the scene and I just kept thinking, I do believe back then things were a lot looser in general. That was really loose. Just hanging out in basically a playground and just buying hash off a guy like you were borrowing a Tic Tac or something.
Yeah. Yeah. They just had complete free reign of it. There was no supervision. I mean, because like we said, there's really like Doberman is really, I think, the only one that has any concern for, you know.
Right. And I've got to say,
the town.
Come on. They even named the cop Doberman.
Doberman. Yeah.
It's like.
It was a weird pick for a name. I mean.
I like the drug dealer, Tip.
Tip.
He was like a, you know, young Kurt Cobain looking dude.
Yes, he was.
Very, very laid back. Very, you know, he's the connection there. Yeah. I didn't really remember him at this point, but later on in the movie when we meet up with Tip again, I remember that part distinctly. Yeah. Yeah, when I saw him, like, oh yeah, I remember this part.
That later part's awesome.
Yeah. So they catch word that there's a party somewhere else, at someone's house. So they go to this house party, and there's just a ton of people there. I remember going to parties like this when someone's parents would go away for the weekend or whatever, and just be people everywhere, outside, inside, downstairs, upstairs, just completely everywhere. And I look back now and I always wonder, like, how did the cops not get called a lot sooner? Yeah. You know, I remember getting chased out of a couple house parties like that. And being there for a while.
Well, yeah, I'll say, you know, of course I was a dork. This is not in question. Me, as soon as I walked into a house like this, the first thing I did was make sure I was within eye shot of a door to run out of there if the cops came. You know what I mean? Because I knew this is too good to last. Things will go wrong quick.
I never thought, I never made a conscious effort to.
Well,
to have an exit strategy.
I'll just say, with my daddy, with a police officer, multiple guns, nightsticks, blackjacks, handcuffs, he didn't even have to. I mean, he never beat us or did any of that, but the fear was there just because I knew he had that stuff. So I was extra careful when it came to run-ins with Mr. Doberman, I'll say.
Run-ins with the law.
Yeah.
So at this party, Carl starts wandering around. He goes down to the basement, gets a joint from somebody, and starts lighting up. And on the couch is the girl, which her name is completely slipping. Corey. Yeah. Making out with Mark, the BB gun guy.
Go figure.
And so he asks, he wants to get a little hit off him and everything. And Mark doesn't say anything to him at this point, does he? As far as in question about, did he rat him out or anything like that?
I want to say, Mark didn't ask him, but I think he volunteered information that he didn't say anything.
All right. You know what? I think he does threaten him about saying something because Carl gets upset. And when Mark walks away, he's upset and tells Corey, you know, you could do better than him, which I thought that was, I don't know, a little odd for that age, but not.
Carl was kind of pissed that Corey was making out with this dude, first of all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why he was got all emotional about it. And then
even though Richie had told him in the beginning, you know, again, hearsay rumors that she was kind of loose, I guess you would say, or something, you know, she was that girl in high school. That's how Richie referenced her. So that didn't get shocking that she was sitting there making out with Mark. And then he walks away and he tells her, you know, he's going to leave the party. Because I think that's really the only reason he wanted to hang out was because she was there.
Yeah.
And like you said, that kind of ruined it for him. When he leaves the party, he's alone. He's cutting through the playground again. And then he gets jumped by Mark and his buddy, which I don't even know if we ever catch his friend's name.
I don't think we do.
But they kick the crap out of him. What'd you think about this fight scene, Dor?
Again, twice as long as it needed to be. Kids are not that resilient when they literally swing their arm wildly around them like a whip. You know, you're going to break the other kid's jaw or break your hand. But there was little doubt they were beating the crap out of him kind of thing, you know. But I
thought it was a pretty good fight scene.
I just hate when fight scenes end with the guy holding the other guy by the head and doing a raised knee. That doesn't happen in real life. No one finishes a fight by raising their knee, by holding the guy's head and raising their knee. It just doesn't happen.
Or if it did, when they, you know, they're kind of getting up on all fours and someone like in Die Hard, we saw that. And we'd see the guy getting up on all fours and getting a soccer kick to the face.
We don't see that either.
And they just kind of roll over. That bothers me.
Well, then don't,
happens.
You know, no spoilers, but don't watch the new Star Trek.
Don't worry.
Wasn't planning on it.
Okay.
he gets worked over real good,
I didn't quite understand why they had to beat him up so bad. Why did they beat him up?
I knew exactly why. It was just trying to make sure this kid kept his mouth quiet, make sure he didn't talk to the cops.
Yeah, but they beat the crap, the living crap out of him,
and then they took
that's not a good enough reason
pocket.
And that would make him almost, you know, not like not that would almost make him want to rat him out. I don't know.
You know how the way I looked at it was, like we said earlier, Carl wasn't known to be, or at least we don't have the impression that Carl is a troublemaker type kid as of this point, really.
Right.
So maybe it's an hierarchy type thing, like
I got you.
Mark letting him know, look,
I'm the boss.
I'm the man around here type of thing. You know, don't start trying to act tough or bad or whatever. You know, that's how I kind of looked at it. Plus, I think the girl Corey had something to do with it.
Yeah, the fact that he made him get up off of making out with Corey to get, you know, a puff of that joint. Yeah. So,
well, I'll say it had something to do with drug money because these kids did a lot of drugs. It took a lot of money, and they took $3 from them.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. Maybe $3 back then was $20. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But, yeah, I mean, that's why I think they worked him over so hard. Plus, they were probably messed up anyways.
Oh, well.
So they just
take for granted, anytime you see someone under the age of 20, they're high in the whole movie.
Yeah. So he comes home and tries to kind of sneak in, and as his father's talking to this board member of the housing community or whatever we said he was. He was just, I don't know, he was like a car salesman himself. You know, he seemed more dirty car salesman than his own father did. Me.
Sleazy, like.
Yeah. He's like, oh, don't worry. Because when they see him come in, he's all lumped up and his father's concerned and calling for him. And the guy's like, leave him alone. Hit, you know, Gal or whatever is the mom's name was. She'll take care of him. That's what moms are for or something. And you could tell he was hesitant, the father was. He did want to go, go check on him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so the mom asks who it was, and he doesn't give it up. He doesn't give up the name, which I think at that age, I think a lot of kids probably would cough up that information after getting lumped that bad.
I don't know, because I have no reality on this town and how these kids think, because the way they acted in this movie was just too crazy. So I can't predict anything that they would have done in normal circumstances.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to relate it to, like, normal life of kids that age.
Right.
Kids that age, maybe, but...
Well, and I can see...
That town, maybe the rules are changed.
Yeah, and I'll say, maybe the dad could have got a name out of him, but this scene was a telltale scene on how the mom treats him. Because she's, you know, are you okay? Then he said, well, they took $3 up of me. And the mom gave him $5 and said... call it hazard pay. So it's just told me that she just babies him, you know. She won't never get mad at him. She'll never tell him what to do. He's always right kind of attitude. And I think the kid knew he could basically walk over her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and I'll say,
I mean,
what I did respect about this movie was this kid got crappied out of him. We went over that. But the fact that the marks on his face stayed for the rest of the movie, and it wasn't like 20 minutes later in the movie, voila, they're gone.
Yeah, I agree. That was one real thing they did.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I thought this movie was pretty good. I'm still into it at this point.
At this point, I was all right. I was all right.
You're still into it at this point?
I'm kind of like, I don't know, overrun on like...
after school specials?
Dazed and Confused kind of movies. You know what I mean? Like let's see how bad the kids are. Let's just see how bad the kids are. You know, it's like, man, I didn't like the message, you know? Like, let's just see how bad the kids are. I almost didn't want to see a movie. It wasn't positive enough of a movie for me. Maybe that's what it is.
See, I kept thinking, I don't know which way this kid's going. Is he going to realize, oh, man, my parents do only want what's best for me. These other kids really, you know, yeah, I'm having fun, but they're not good for me. I still, at this point of the movie, was not sure which way this kid was going.
You know what? Me neither, Dor, but I almost didn't care that much. It wasn't that they didn't get me enough into the movie where I cared. I wasn't feeling it for enough of the characters and stuff. I could have just turned the movie off, went about my life, and not even worried about the ending of that movie at this point for me.
Gotcha.
Was it because because all the kids were just instantly, like there was no mixture of like good kids, bad kids? It just seemed like every kid in the town was kind of just a troublemaker? Or?
Maybe. I don't know really what didn't draw me in to the plot, but I just wasn't feeling it. Maybe I'll think of something later, but...
Yeah, I mean, because I could see that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it was like all the kids were just going over the edge,
every
you know,
kid.
Like about to
and
go
that,
instead
what,
of having.
What it was, Sean, like that. What, that was the plot. Like the whole movie was just that for me. It's like bad kids, bad kids, bad kids, bad kids, bad kids. It was like nothing different the whole movie. So, maybe I wanted some, I don't know, conflict or something to make an actual good story out of it.
Oh yeah, I'll say a little bit further into this movie was when I said to myself, if I lived in this town as a kid, I would have went home crying to my parents, please move.
Yeah,
these kids
me
are
too.
Crazy. Because there was no, I don't want to say normal kids, there was no kids who were not completely evil.
It was scary.
And bad.
It was scary from that, you know, point of view of looking at all these kids all like that. There was no normalcy in that town for the kids. And that is kind of a scary thought.
Yeah.
You know, that the kids would just be neglected in a way, that they could just run rampant like that. And
it wasn't that believable, I guess, maybe for me, that the kids would be able to be like that. I don't think there's many towns like that. I mean, it says it's loosely based on a true story. It's probably very, very loosely based on a true story.
Yeah, I mean, when they say that, it could be just a little, you know, maybe there was a kid named Carl that hung out with Kid Richie with a banana seed or something.
Well,
you know.
And the other thing I'll point out is I believe this was the second or third time we've seen the dad at his house. Every time we see the dad, he has some kind of liquor in his hand. I did pick up on that,
too. I didn't notice that.
Oh, every time the dad was home, he had a cup of something, either wine or something. But the only time it was clear, it was when they shared the bottle of wine. But every other time, it was like a mixed drink of some sort.
Well, you could tell he was very stressed out. It was his relaxer. I mean, with what's going on with Carl now starting to arise, you know, it's sort of more of a new problem. And then just the fact of trying to get people into this town to invest.
Yeah.
You know, he's really stressed out, and he owns a car dealership, so a Cadillac car dealership. I don't think they're probably flying off the showroom floor.
No, and I'll say the mom and dad were slightly recognizable to me, but I couldn't place either one of them.
Yeah, the father I know I've seen. The mother, I wasn't really sure. Even Doberman, I was like, I know this guy from somewhere. And I tried looking him up on IMDb where I would notice him. And
yeah, he seemed the most familiar to me, but I don't know from where.
And nothing grabbed me. So
the mom I know I've seen, the dad was so recognizable, I must have seen. I'm thinking it was from old television.
Yeah, I'm sure. But speaking of Doberman, we get another dose of him the next day at the rec center again.
Yeah.
Because he's patrolling it, they got some people coming into town, I think, some Texans to show to invest in. And I believe Carl's dad or not his dad, but
the
homeowner association guy wanted them to like shut the wreck down for the day.
They were supposed to, right?
That's what the plan was.
But the counselor lady would not, when Doberman came, she said she wasn't going to shut it down.
Cute.
They got nowhere else to go.
She's cute, by the way.
Yeah, she was. She was.
She can manage my rec center.
She can counsel you.
Yeah.
So he stops there, and this is when he busts. What's his name? Claude.
Yeah. He just walked. No, he didn't bust him. He walked through the crowd of kids, like
in the rec center. Yeah.
Around 30 plus kids went right to Claude and told him to spread his legs. Because he was checking his pockets.
Yeah, and he gets some hash off of him, so he calls for backup. They're gonna take him in, and he even says, "Like, I know I could get something on all you kids." And I believe Carl, you know, he's making his mark. He's like, "Well, check me." He's standing up, trying to act
tough,
you know, bad, yeah, because he had just been questioned by everybody about who lumped him up. And
Carl, you know, and then, you know, he opens up his pockets. He's like, check my pockets.
Right.
And then I think he makes a pretty bad move. He pulls his comb out of his back pocket.
Real quick.
Points it at the cop like a gun. Yo, if Doberman thought that was a real gun, Carl would be dead.
Dead.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that was pretty risky, I think, on Carl's part.
Well, I'll say as soon as the cop tells Claude, you know, to spread him, Ricky quickly ducks and runs out of the rec center, which was to me another sign of, you know, this guy is the worst of the whole group, because everybody else is just standing there complaining, saying you can't do that. Ricky just runs.
Yeah, and when they go outside, he's standing on the cop car,
yeah,
taunting Doberman and the backup police. They're chasing him, running around chasing him. I think the one cop falls when he's chasing him. He is.
And all the kids are cheering.
Yeah, it was complete chaos. as the investors are driving by, and Carl's dad is kind of like making up some BS, like, oh yeah, the cops go there and they have a like kid day or something with the police. He's trying to like play it off as it's nothing, because they obviously can see it's something's going on with the police and the kids. It's kind of loud. So he was quick on his feet. Carl's dad was definitely quick on his feet for that, but he's a car salesman. Probably gonna get a bunch of emails from car salesmen because I'm
passionate.
You gotta
answer to Eric when he comes back.
Yeah, he's right. Sell cars. Yeah,
that's right. So they take off and they're just riding through the neighborhood. Richie and Carl are they're riding their bikes through, and they come up on what's her name again, Steve?
Corey.
I'm horrible. Yeah, Corey and one of her other friends, Abby. And they had just broken into a house. Obviously, they came out of a house.
Even the girls are bad.
Yep.
Yep. And they end up showing them a gun. They got a gun from this
house. So they broke into a house and stole a gun and left?
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm thinking it was obviously somebody that they knew, and they knew the gun was there. Because, I mean, they're just going to...
Yeah, I didn't get that.
It seemed like that. I thought they said something where it kind of implied that maybe, but... I could be wrong. So then they, is this when they go to the empty condo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe. Sure.
And they're screwing around with the gun.
Yeah. Carl and Richie, they have like this unfinished condo that's just, I guess, been sitting there for a while unfinished. That's kind of where they go to hang out. They got a radio boom box and
they call it their condo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're hanging there with the girls. Of course, Richie's trying to get all cozy with Abby, and she's just like, she wants nothing to do with it. And I knew something, you know, you could just tell. They had the music going on, and Corey starts dancing, real horrible, like 80s like type dancing from a movie.
With the gun in her hands.
Yeah, pointing it at Carl, and he's all smiling and mesmerized.
He'll be smiling.
Dude, I am like running out of
Thank
the room.
Thank you. I'd have been freaking out.
When I was younger, I was at a friend's house, and his parents didn't have their guns locked up, and he did that, man, with a shotgun. It was like messing around, and dude, I flew out of that house so fast, because I was like, you know, at that point in time, you know, it was being known about a lot of that happening back in the late 80s. So I was like, man, I'm not even messing around. I'm out of here. And in the typical, it's not loaded, don't worry. I remember him saying that. And I was just like, I'm gone.
Yeah, me too. I would have been.
And she ends up shooting the gun.
Yeah.
And you think he's shot, he falls over, but then he ends up smiling. That seemed a little...
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. So that she shot a real bullet, right?
Yeah.
Shot a real bullet.
Right by his head.
Killing Carl. And he plays it off as a joke. Man, I don't care how much you like that girl, or if I like that girl. If she almost shot me with a gun, I wouldn't have done that. I would have been pissed off.
Yeah.
I would have been pissed off, and I would have been like, you're effing crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't care how hot she
is. Enjoy your condo.
I don't care if she was naked and ready to jump on me with money. No, I'm still mad at her.
Yeah.
See, I'm not even thinking of that. I'm thinking, even if it was a blank or whatever, like, he knew he was so quick to just pretend like a gun just went off at him.
Yeah, no,
you wouldn't just be dropping down like it's too. That part was.
I would have been screaming like a little girl.
I would have rather seen her. I think it would have been better if the gun just went off,
and break a window or something, and then they all go, "Oh my god!" Like that.
Exactly. Right. Instead of her shooting it off, and he just falls down like he was that quick witted to just. Thing to do that,
and it was so obvious she was going to shoot the thing as she was dancing around with it.
Well,
they made it too obvious.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm digging into this movie. It reminded me of like some of the horrible cutscenes of this movie. I could have done a better job with Sony Vegas and a Canon camcorder. There was like scenes in this movie where
Steve, the music is playing.
The scene is going. And all of a sudden, the scene cuts to another scene, and the music cuts too.
Well, Steve,
it was just horrible
back
editing.
Then,
in this movie.
There was no such thing as Sony Vegas. There was no such thing as a personal computer. And the camera they used, I'm sure, was like 60 pounds on some guy's shoulder. They didn't have like little pocket cameras. I mean, times were different.
Don't make excuses for this professionally made movie that probably budgeted more than I've made in my entire life. You know what I mean? It's like, this is not like home movies. This is like in the theaters, right? This movie was probably in the theaters, right?
I would think so. Yeah, I don't care
if they had, you know, reel-to-reel, well, they did, tapes, and they're splicing it. You got to do a better splicing job than they did with some of the editing in this movie. Like, the music shouldn't cut when the scene cuts. Like, when you change the scene, the music shouldn't just cut and new music played. And that happened definitely one time at least.
Well, I honestly, I hate to say it like this, but I just took it as a matter of fact, this is how this movie is, because nothing about it seemed expensive, extravagant, sharp, clear, high end. It just seemed like something somebody wanted to make. This guy, Matt, he had some talent. Let's get him in the movie and let's get all these other kids. Come on, kids. And then they just shot a movie.
Maybe.
Yeah. It didn't appear like this was something
super high budget.
Yeah. Like, while they were shooting the movie, people in the town probably didn't even know it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what the budget is. And even if I did, I mean, I don't know movie budgets and how they're spent and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I kind of just took it as it was a movie made in probably 77 or something, 78.
Yeah, which was not the Stone Age. And,
no, but it doesn't have a bunch of big actors in it. It's not a, I don't know.
Okay.
I respect, because you are, you know, you create a lot of audio and video content and you're really good at it, and everyone should check it out, and you should plug it at the end of the show. So I can see why it would, you know, affect you more.
Right.
Where to me, it's an old 70s movie. Yeah,
and I had, let's say, I looked the movie poster and I see Matt Dillon in a half shirt holding a gun. I had lowered expectations from the beginning is what I'll say. So I did see that cut scene. I know the exact cut scene you're talking about, where it literally, like, it was, yeah, like, cut.
That's the one. That's
and
the one.
And I was like,
yeah. You know what? Maybe if the movie was good, I wouldn't have noticed that, but.
Yes, you would have.
I wouldn't have.
If it meant something, if it really was purposeful and meant to be like that to show some kind of shift or change, I could understand it, but I don't think it was.
It wasn't.
It was just somebody taped it too close or something.
Right. It was the scene that's coming up with the firecrackers.
Well, like I said, I respect your opinion on it being a content creator yourself. Me not really being a content creator other than this podcast, if you want to call that content creator, it didn't bother me.
Okay.
But yeah, so we'll go to the next day when they, because they say they're going to have a shooting picnic or something. We're going to have a picnic and shoot the gun. And so we get the same characters, you know, Abby and Corey and Richie Carl. And then, I think Johnny's there, but Claude's there, and they're, you know, shooting a gun at a can, arguing over who's going to shoot or whatever. Carl ends up being the only one that can pop the can. But during this scene, Claude says that he bought that hash, that he got busted for at the center from Doberman. He bought that hash from this guy, Tip, who we mentioned earlier in the scene, right, or early in the movie, in which I think it's Corey says that he had just gotten busted. Tip had just gotten busted, right?
Yeah.
So they decide that they're going to go have a talk with him, because now it's kind of sounding fishy, because like you said, Doberman went right to Claude. Even though he said he could bust anybody, probably went right to Claude. So this scene coming up, I completely remember this. They hop the fence, they're at Tip's house, they hop the fence, and he's on the phone, you know, making some sorts of
deals.
He is like wheeling and dealing. I kind of like that.
And very laid back, cool, you know. It's during the day, his mother, father, somebody could be just like, he's a businessman.
Well,
you know,
the one scene that we skipped real quick was when that Carl sabotaged the Texan's car by putting firecrackers up under the hood.
I don't think we I don't think we did that
yet. I think that was before he left for the picnic, right? Is that
it,
what it was?
Right between them shooting in their condo and the picnic. It was like when he was on his way home from that event.
Right. That's why it reminded me of that cut scene, because that's the scene where he put the firecrackers in the businessman's car. You got it.
Yeah. It was basically laying the screws to his dad. It was a way for him to disrespect his dad. Blatant, outright. Yeah. That's all that was. And that's when I realized
he's turned the dark side.
Well, that he might not have ever been a good kid. Now he's just getting a chance to be bad, kind of thing.
Well, he does. We get to a point where we know he was a good kid.
Yeah, but my guess is he just didn't have the outlet until he met Ricky. And when he met Ricky, woohoo, you know, time to go crazy.
Richie.
I just think it was just circumstance, you know, his surroundings.
Yeah, I do too. I think if he didn't have,
I don't think he was a bad kid waiting to come out of his shell.
I know I did bad things when I was around bad people when I was a kid.
Yeah. Who didn't? You know, I mean, I think we all did. It's peer pressure, and there's a lot of it there.
Yeah,
he really had nowhere else to turn to, you know, other than being a mama's boy. I would say being staying
right.
Home.
Otherwise, he'd probably be a dead kid if he wasn't bad with all the other kids. Because apparently there was not one good freaking kid in this movie.
In the town.
They were either bad or dead, apparently.
Exactly.
And he like kind of doubles down on his dad with this, because not only does it chase these Texas businessmen, investors away, it was his dad's car.
Yeah.
He let him use one of the caddies. So, you're right. Yeah, it was good that you brought that up.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. So
No, I thought we weren't up to that scene. I'm glad you brought it up too.
So
no, I think you're right. I think that's where it falls in.
Right. And then they went out shooting. Apparently no one could even come close to hitting a can except for Carl. And then they left and they hopped Tip's fence and decided to pay him a visit.
Yeah. So So they pull the gun out on him. And Johnny's got the firecrackers, and Tip admits, because he thinks he's going to get roughed up or shot, that he admits that Doberman, he told Doberman that he had sold that stuff to Claude.
Yeah.
Because he had gotten busted by him. So this part, again, was kind of, I don't know, a little over for me. Richie's got the gun and Johnny's lights the firecrackers and thinks he's getting, you know, Tip thinks he's getting shot. The mother looks over because she's playing tennis in the court right next to the condo, and they end up throwing him over into the pond. There's like a pond right there, and the kid can't
swim.
You
think that was over the top? And you saw the end of this movie and you still liked it, and you think that scene was over the top?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't think I didn't get that he didn't know how to swim.
I'll just say,
right next to
if I was Tip, I would have definitely at least peed my pants. I'll just say that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That comes with the job, though, I guess. He's got to toughen up.
Yeah.
So I think when he gets home, this is when he's told that he's not supposed to be, they don't want him hanging out with Richie or Claude, right? And that they're gonna close the rec center.
Yeah, I believe the mom says that you need to take a break from them or something.
Yeah, and then he gets in an argument with his father, and he actually takes a swing at his dad, misses, but takes a swing at his dad, and his dad just hauls off and doesn't punch him, but he smacks him pretty good.
Yeah, I believe this and would be called a bitch slap because it was a your swing. At me, kid, kind of slap. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think his dad wanted to, but didn't want. I don't know. I could feel that there was.
His dad felt his mom was being too easy on him the whole time. So now is dad's time to just like put him in his place, right?
Well,
yeah.
I think his dad really did want to literally beat the crap out of him, but said, I can't do that. I shouldn't do that. That's not how I should be done.
Yeah, I don't think he did. I think, and I don't know, I could be looking at it wrong, but it seemed to me that it, even though he hit him, he knew he had to, it kind of pained him that he did it, or it pained him that it had gotten to that point.
Yeah, I agree with that too, but he did need to, he did realize that he needed to put him in his place because his mom was being too easy on him, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we're at school again the next day, Carl overhears Tip's mom, who's at school, right? And she is basically ratting out, or not ratting out, but she's saying it was Richie, right? And Carl. So then Carl gets out of there, gets Richie, you know, gets him out of school. They basically cut
well,
out.
Thank you. Cause honestly, I could not figure out who that was behind him pointing out the kids. I'm like, who is this? Who is this? I couldn't tell who it was. I couldn't see who it was.
Well, Sean's reading Wikipedia. So
well, good job, Wikipedia.
Yes, I'm using referencing some notes because I didn't notice it was either. And thanks for calling me out on that, Steve.
I'm reading along with you. That's why.
Yeah. So this is when they're gonna skip town. They're gonna leave. They're cutting out of there. Carl doesn't want to be there anymore. Richie has no reason to be there. He goes to his house and steals his mom's Bronco, right. and this is when we find out that he doesn't even care because he's like the bank owns it. She hasn't made any payments on right. it.
Yeah, and I'll say. I did not know how long of a movie this was. I thought this was coming to the climax right here. That's what I thought. Because I thought, you know, this is where the movie's going to end. The kids are going to run away. As they're going to run away, something's going to happen. And there's the end of the movie. But this is what I honestly thought.
What I thought was that Richie's a pretty damn good driver for probably not having his license.
Yeah, well, I guess those Broncos are really easy to drive.
I guess so.
What do you mean? When he goes off-roading or just in general?
In general. He was like almost pro-level stuntman driving. For what is he, 15, 14?
Yeah.
14, yeah. 14-year-old
kid?
14 or 15, something like that, yeah. And we got to mention, too, he has the gun.
Yeah.
He took the gun with him as well. So yeah, they're driving and they're all excited. They throw in an eight track tape, I think. Mm-hmm. They didn't really show it, but from the sound and the way his hand went in instead of down and pushing a cassette tape, I'm pretty sure it was
definitely
eight track. Oh, definitely.
I don't think they didn't have any cassettes back then.
No, not even invented yet. I mean, it was even a thing in someone's eye thing.
Ends up that Doberman ends up behind him.
Of course.
And so we have a car chase, off-road chase. This is where I thought, okay. On the road, I was like, okay, because I was driving when I was like 14, 15. Once in a while, not all the time, but we knew people.
Good for you. I really wanted to.
Yeah.
I
was going
to
say.
I really, really wanted to.
Sean.
But I was.
I ask, did you go over the edge?
I did not.
Okay.
I stopped right at it.
Because let me tell you something. I didn't drive till I was 16.
I think I was probably 15, maybe. It's probably like 15. One of my friends in school was dating a girl that was a senior and had a car, and she just would give him the keys. And neither one of us had our license, and we would just drive all around, go out to lunch.
That's a good girlfriend.
And he would do, I think about now, I'm like, what a jerk. He would do neutral drops in the car. We'd go to the parking lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I think, man, if he would have dropped that transmission, how do you explain that?
You don't.
And then how does she explain it? And it just could have been crazy. Yeah. And I would have just been like, see ya.
Yeah.
I wasn't here. But, yeah, so this, now they go off road and they're driving between trees and everything. This is where I was like, okay, this kid's pretty good until.
Well, obviously a Ford Bronco in the 70s was not built to actually off road because they hit what appears to be nothing and it overturns.
Yeah, overturns, and that whole area reminded me of like Greece or something where they did the race in Greece. Yeah. You know, in the
I never saw Greece.
Oh,
you never saw Greece?
Nope.
Oh, episode 12.
Beauty School Dropout.
Grease Lightning. You're in for a treat, Steve.
No, please, I don't want to watch Grease.
It's either Grease or we watch this again.
Oh no, don't do that. We want him back on the show, Sean.
I'd almost rather watch Children of the Corn than Grease.
We got to do at least one thing that he likes before that.
Top Gun.
Except Top Gun.
Don't worry, we won't do Grease. But yeah, so the Bronco flips over. They're okay. They get out. Doberman's, you know, Richie tells him, split up, man. They can't chase us. Boom.
Wait, wasn't Carl yelling at him to get rid of the gun before this
point? The whole time.
Yeah. As soon as the cop got behind him, as soon as they saw him behind, he was like, ditch the gun, man. He's like, no way. I'm not ditching it. So, yeah, you're right. He was thinking smart at that point. But Richie, you know, he's a rebel.
Yeah.
And they end up splitting up, and Doberman tells him to stop, and then Richie pulls out the gun.
Well, in typical movie fashion, he pulled out the gun and pointed at the cop and then proceeds to say words. If you're pulling out a gun and pointing it at somebody, the only thing you should do is pull the trigger. But no, he decides, now it's time for me to monologue, and he starts talking. And he says something to the cop, and the cop just pulls his gun up and pops him. And I honestly wasn't sure if he was dead.
Yeah. The way they cut that scene was really strange. They didn't show Matt Dillon get hit at all. What did they show him go down, maybe?
They just showed him, like, flail back. And
that was it.
And that was it. And they showed Carl running off. The cop could have instantly looked down, saw the kid was down, turned over his shoulder, saw Carl running 200 feet away, hopped in his car, and got Carl. But instead, they just showed Carl running and then slow-mo effect, ba-bom, cut to a different scene.
Yep.
Was his intent to shoot the cop? Because, Dore, you're right, he did pause. Was he just trying to scare the cop? Was he not going to shoot him? Because if you point a gun at the cop, you're going to get shot. So that's another thing. I'm with Dore on that one. I'm kind of confused of why he did that. I don't know.
He just wasn't a smart kid.
Did he think Doberman wasn't going to shoot him, I guess?
Yeah, I think he was trying to call, it was a bluff. Okay.
It makes sense.
And he got called on it.
I mean, best case scenario, I chalk it up to he was just really high. And I don't think he knew what he was doing. He just pointed it up because it was just, to me, that was awkward. Something about it, and I don't know what it was just awkward. How they both just stopped and pointed guns at each other.
Right.
Shoot, that cop would have to shoot me in the butt.
Right.
Well, I think it was a bluff between a 14-year-old and a grown man, and the mentality is completely different. The 14-year-old's going in his head real quick, going, "I'm gonna pull this out," and he's just gonna freak out. You know, he ain't gonna mess with me or whatever. Right. And the grown man's just looking as
I might die,
being threatened, a weapon being pulled at him from some kid that's known to be a troublemaker. Reaction.
Yep, I agree.
So you can't blame the guy.
Yeah. I don't blame Doberman for almost anything in this movie.
Yeah. So like you said, and then Carl takes off running. And then does he go home? No, he doesn't go home at this point, right?
He goes to a phone booth to try to call up the kid who got arrested.
Right.
Claude.
Right. And Claude, but he ends up getting his brother Johnny, and he's got to tap on the phone because he doesn't talk. So he's asking, is he dead? One tap, yes. And so there's this like little tap scene. Basically, yeah. Right? He's asking him questions and he taps one for yes, two for no, I think. And then does he call Corey and tell him that he's going to the condo? Cause he ends up going to the townhouse.
I don't think they show the call, but she does say, thank you for calling me or something like that.
I'm glad you called me.
Yeah.
I guess it was after they slept in the same sleeping bag.
Yeah, cause she brings him the sleeping bag and
brown chicken, brown cow.
Well, that's what they imply, but we didn't get any music.
So.
But,
all this kid's going through, you might as well.
Yeah, and her reputation.
Yeah.
It'd be a letdown for him if nothing happened. There's no payout on this.
Yeah, proof in the pudding, yeah.
No, he scored.
Yeah, so.
No
but, yeah, so when she ends up leaving because she's got to get home before her dad wakes up, he wants to go home and get some money. But this is but coming up because he comes across Mark, who's like,
yeah,
obviously lives out in the out in the field somewhere with a tent, and he's riding his little dirt bike, and this is where I had a problem. So he's riding on the dirt bike. Carl comes upon him. He doesn't see Carl. Carl sees him. He grabs a BB gun and shoots Mark when he's like in like midair of a jump or something. And he comes falling off. Like he shoots. The dude's got a leather jacket on, right?
Thank you.
He gets shot with a BB gun. He's not going to feel it.
You would either not feel it, or if it's a pellet gun, go right through the jacket possibly and be in his body. But there's no between. There's no, you're going to feel it enough to disturb my jumping. You know?
Yeah.
Or there's nothing in between. It's either you don't feel it at all, or it's in him.
Yeah, I was like, come on, this is...
Well,
that part.
And his fall
funny.
On the bike was very... Hey, what a surprise. He didn't get hurt at all.
Well, if you watch Jackass, I mean, you'd be amazed. Actually, not Jackass. Nitro Circus. If you watch Nitro Circus, you'd be amazed how bad you could wipe out on a bike and not get hurt.
Anyway. Nitro Circus.
It's like Jackass with on motorcycles.
Did you not get the other day we were talking, the three of us, and Steve, you saw what, Jackass 3 or something for the first time? Did you just go on a binge at that point of just, you had to watch like Wild Boys and all that stuff? Wow.
Yeah, that was like after I watched that, I saw Jackass. Yeah, I did. A little bit of a binge. Because I, you know, I'm on this juice diet, and I needed to take my mind off. There was some pain, some muscle. My muscles were hurting my legs, and so I just.
So you need to you had to see somebody else suffering more
pain.
Yeah,
like stuff like that.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, so they end up talking and becoming pals at this point. You know, comrades.
Well, I think that this part didn't bother me because he kind of gained the respect of the tougher kid, which was cool.
That didn't bother me. It just the BB gun shooting him, you know, with a BB gun, and he's falling down. Yeah. And he got shot with a rifle. That bothered me. You know, and the fact he had a leather jacket on. You're not going to feel with the leather jacket on. But so yeah, like you said, though, he gets his respect. You know, I think he says, I like you, kid, or something like that.
Come by anytime. Call my secretary.
Yeah. So then he does go home, and he's got to sneak in there, and because his mom's home, because he wants to get some money. He's going to run away again, I think. And his father calls, because they're all worried about him. The father calls while he's there. He can tell it's who she's talking to. So he goes up and sneaks in the room and gets on the other line. Nobody hears him pick the phone up. Do you guys remember? I don't know, Steve, is your brother older or younger? Older. Do you ever try and sneak listen to him on the phone and
you can always hear the click? And when he goes in her room, the television set is on. So as soon as he picked it up, they would have heard the television set. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I just remember my older brother talking to his girlfriend. I'd try and be like, pick it up. And I'm like, get off the phone, man. I'm getting smacked.
Yeah, I'll just say, the only time I was successful with that, old rotary phone with the big handle, the handle's down. I unscrew the microphone, the bottom part, unscrew it, and pull out the speaker, and then pick it up off the handle, and then it made no sound.
What were you listening to?
I don't even remember.
That you had to go to such extremes.
It wasn't obviously that entertaining because I can't remember.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it was maybe just to prove a point.
I was just being a sneaky younger brother, but I always got caught. Or if I didn't get caught picking it up, I always got caught putting it down. Because he'd be on the phone for like an hour, 2 hours, and he'd be like, all right, this is boring. He loves her. She loves him. And then he'd go to put it down, and we're like, Sean, hold on. And then I'd hear him running up the stairs, trying to lock the door quick enough.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The good old days.
I didn't have to worry about that. My brother was only 1 year older. And I think from the age about 7 or up, I could beat the crap out of him. Just because I was clearly less sane than he was.
Mine was like 3.5. So
big difference there.
He had me for a while till we got in high school. But he does overhear, I think he overhears them talking about they're going to have a conference, community conference of the parents, right? At the school.
Yeah.
About what's going on.
Earlier that day, the teacher was handing out pamphlets to all the students and said to give it to all of the parents. Okay. First off, fatal flaw number one. If the kids are the problem and you give the kids a flyer to give to their parents to come talk about how bad the kids are, no kid is going to give that to their parents.
It's true. And we already established there's no good kids in this town.
Right. So that's big flaw number one. When he picks up the phone, he hears them talk about that tonight, which immediately incensed him. I mean, you could tell he was mad. He was first mad that he saw his dad on television pitching cars. And then he was even more mad when he heard they were going to have this meeting.
Yeah. So let's just go to the meeting. They're at the school. It's not even all the parents, because Doberman, I think, is the one who says he's very upset with the outcome of how many parents. I don't know if it was Doberman
it wasn't Doberman. Right. It was the homeowners association guy. I thought.
Well, it was him and Doberman mostly handling, I think, this conversation. But yeah, Doberman is not happy with the turnout either. And Carl's parents end up showing up there.
Late.
Yeah. And it's pretty much to say, like, look, these kids are crazy. And his parents, Carl's father, gets defensive about, these kids are part of the community as well, not wanting to accept responsibility for what's going on, because, you know, they're saying, look, you guys aren't even, the teacher stands up at one point and says, I see your kids more than you do. I talk to your kids more than you do. So there's this whole struggle of who's.
Well, yeah, was one of the things that was very unclear. Was there a quote unquote good guy in the movie? Because Carl's dad was saying how no one spends enough time with their kids. The teacher was pointing out, well, neither do you.
And he didn't even, and that they didn't show up to the open house.
So it's like, who was, I honestly had a hard time trying to figure out who was the quote unquote good guys in this movie.
I'd say Doberman.
I don't know.
If you had to pick one, what about you, Steve?
Yeah, I would. I would say that. He wasn't like a corrupt cop or anything.
Yeah. So while this is going on, all the kids kind of gather up and they're heading over there. And this is when they go over the edge.
Completely over the edge. Carl meets with Mark and he isn't sure how Mark's going to act. And Mark's like, I'm with you, bro. I believe it was Carl's idea. If they're going to have this conference, we need to go down there. And once they go down there, they literally break into the school, steal a whole bunch of stuff, chain up the doors, like in the middle of the halls, there's the gates. They close the gates and chain up and lock all of the parents and Doberman in a section of the auditorium to where they can't get out.
And the parents freak out. Doberman's like, blaming people, like, this is all your fault.
Well, yeah,
the homeowners guy.
And he kept saying, everything is under control. I'm like, really?
Yeah. Everything definitely wasn't under control.
No.
I thought he was being sarcastic.
Oh, really? I didn't think so.
Yeah.
Maybe he was. Now that you say that.
Because he was pissed off at the homeowners guy for even, he's like, this is your fault. We shouldn't even be here and yada, yada, yada.
The kids went way too far. They're like, they're destroying everybody's car.
Oh, yeah.
They're shooting the gun. And for some reason, every car they shoot one bullet with it, gun explodes.
Yeah.
And then it's just too crazy. It was too crazy out there.
Well, like, see,
every kid is just destroying things to such an extent that to me, I didn't buy it. I didn't buy any of it. It took me out of the movie. It was too fake.
Well, it was insane. And a cut.
Was it over the edge?
Over the edge. Exactly what the movie said. So I guess I got I guess they gave me what they promised they were going to deliver. But I'll tell you what, it was just, I couldn't watch. I didn't enjoy watching. It was too stupid.
Well, see, this was my last salvation. Two or three times they showed Carl, zoomed in on Carl. And I could have swore this is when he said, enough is enough. We're going too far. I need to change my ways kind of thing. And I swore it was going to happen right here. And it didn't. I was utterly disappointed.
That's right. I'm with Thor on that too. Yeah, they zoom in on Carl and he's going to say, oh, what have I done?
Right.
But then he smiles, doesn't he, or something?
Yeah, he does something opposite.
Yeah, completely opposite. And, Mark breaks into the back of the cop car and gets a shotgun. No good can come from this.
But then he's riding his bike around, pointing it at all the kids.
I know. It's like, dude.
Yeah, this...
And the kids literally take M80s, blow up the former to the school, so the school loses all power. Like, 8 cars are set on fire, baseball bats through all the windows, and one kid, here's what I know, is 8 tracks. One kid you can see in a car grabs, just keeps grabbing 8-track tapes.
Oh,
he's like,
yeah.
We got a gold mine! You know, just stealing 8-track tapes, and it's like completely insane and sandy. Now, here's my logic. You walk up to a wall in the auditorium and you pull a fire alarm. But no, they just sit around screaming, the parents screaming. Ah!
Yeah, the parents were definitely losing it, man. Especially when they started hearing the guns.
They have guns. They have guns.
Yeah. I did like this movie. I like this movie, but this did get a little too much. You know, it got a little too diehardish for me. How diehard, where I was kind of like, all right, I'm ready for this to end. At this point, I was like, all right, you know, how much is going to go on? And the only way they do get to call for backup is because Johnny's in there on a skateboard and the rec center lady, wasn't it rec center lady?
Mrs. Vogel.
A counselor calls him over and he brings her a phone. Johnny ain't thinking. Why would he give her the phone?
Because he likes her. I would have given her a phone too.
Because Johnny's the only good kid, right, Steve? No. Johnny is the closest you're going to get to a good kid.
I don't even know
about
that. He was tearing up walls with a knife as he was driving by Miss Vogel there.
If he is the closest thing we're going to get to a good kid, the culture is screwed.
Well, I'm saying in this movie, it's...
Yeah, I guess he was the closest kid to good because he liked Vogel.
Yeah. I mean, the kids are on a loudspeakers and everything, so it just really does just... get crazy and finally they do get some backup after she calls and the kids all start to disperse and go their separate ways and then it cuts to some music coming on and this is where you see some of the kids including Carl being walked out with his hands behind his back,
No.
Okay, Dora, we got it. Go ahead.
You missed a very important part, okay?
Jeez, rub it in.
Carl was running down the street. Okay, first off, Doberman gets out of the building and completely freaks out and charges towards one of the cop cars and just takes off after the kids. He's going down the road. Carl is in the middle of the road, and he orders over the mic Carl to stop running, and Carl stops running. Doberman comes out of the car, cuffs him inside of the car, so now he's in the car. Doberman's driving down the street, basically harassing him, telling him how he's going to go up the hill. And then when he's coming around a corner, it looks like Mark is sitting there with a shotgun. And shoots the car, which of course I'm shocked by the rest of this movie. It didn't just immediately explode, but it didn't. Doberman ran off the road, ironically enough, through the rec center and crashes. And then you see Doberman blood all over his face, like hunched over to the side, unconscious. Carl quickly reaches over, gets the key, gets himself uncuffed, runs out of the car, and like 20, 50 feet away or whatever, it just goes boom. This is another explosion for Steve to critique.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, how do we forget about that part, Steve?
I didn't forget about it. I just didn't rub it in like Dor did.
Well, because that was an important scene. I mean, if Doberman... Okay, now I am going to agree with you guys. Doberman, it would make sense, is the good guy because the good guy dies. And that's the only... Who dies in a movie is supposed to be people that you're supposed to care about. You're supposed to, I guess, care about Doberman because he's the only guy in the town trying to
don't
do right.
Don't give the whomever made this movie credit for trying to like make things
well,
proper. This movie was not...
Plus, I didn't care about anybody in Die Hard.
You should have cared about John and his wife and
they
their
didn't
kids.
Die. They didn't die.
Stop changing the subject. I'm trying to talk here. And see, here's the part of the movie that I, another part that I didn't like. They took for granted a couple things, just like when Matt Damon, Dylan, died. They didn't show it. They didn't show this either. They basically just showed the explosion and then they fade to the next day. I guess the next
day. What did you want on the show?
The other cop getting Carl, beating the crap out of him and locking him up.
Yeah, no, we didn't need that. I thought it was fine. But I'm glad you did point that out because that was a big scene that I overlooked.
Because Carl almost died.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He got out of the wreck site before it exploded. Poor Doberman.
Did I forget anything else, Dor?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're good?
The home...
All right. What the it home, doesn't matter.
No, the homeowner president guy, his beautiful car got exploded and caught on fire. So I guess he is going to have to buy a Cadillac from Karlstad after all.
Yeah. So after all that happens, we see the kids getting walked out. Carl's one of them. His parents are there. They're able to give him a nice big hug, basically telling him, we're here for you. That's how I read it. We're here for you. We'll get through this, whatever. But he's going to the hill with a bunch of other kids, and they're driving in the bus. And I'm assuming what was probably the same overpass is in the beginning of the movie. You got Johnny and I think Allie, maybe. Or no, she was in the bus. Corey, was she there?
Yeah.
It was Johnny and I don't know if anybody else
was. There were three people there, I'm positive.
Maybe it was Claude then. Because Claude actually walked her home. He took her home that night so they didn't get busted. And they see him and they're waving. They're driving on the bus. And it's pretty much that's the end of the movie.
But that scene disturbed me. Well,
why?
Because I want to believe before the end of this movie, this kid's going to realize I'm an ass. I'm wrong. I'm bad. I need to change. But the three kids on the overpass gave me the impression of, hey, when you get out, we're going to go right back to having fun, waving at them.
So yeah, it was a happy scene. And that was a little strange, too. It was like happy, and I was kind of wondering how Carl was going to react in the bus, and he just smiled, and he was happy, too.
Because he knows he's going to get out and get high some more and have parties with the girl. And I'm like, confuse me. I'm easily perplexed.
I don't know. That was another scene that stuck out in my head because Ooh Child by Valerie Carter was playing. And that song is what I could think of that song. Like I said last week on the last episode of Burbs, that's when I put it out on Twitter. And Rob O'Hara had said that's what it was because I was like, there's a, you know, end of the scene.
Oh,
and the movie, kids in a bus,
Steve,
going to juvie with Ooh Child playing.
If you want to blame someone for us watching this movie, blame Rob. I just said it. Sorry, Rob. I had to say it.
Were we going to do this movie before he told you what it was?
I was planning.
Not if he couldn't remember
it. That's why I was like, what?
Yeah.
I wanted to know, what is this movie? Law,
Rob. And I'm saying, Rob, I'm just saying, I'm throwing you under the bus. Because you can't draw any immediate hatred right here where Sean has been taking it the entire show.
And that's cool. I don't mind. I'll take it. Because I really don't think, it was that bad of a movie. I really don't.
There's worse movies. I'm not a fan of movies where they just want to show how bad things are. Like, I don't like that. There's nothing constructive about it.
Yeah.
I don't like movies that are not constructive, or at least add something to
I was begging
culture
for some
and
hope.
Society. I don't know, man. I'm kind of on a moral, trying to be like a moral high ground here. I don't know. But I just don't like movies that are just all bad. And this movie was kind of pissed me off. It was just like too much bad, stupid crap.
And see, I watch movies to just be entertained. Like I don't ever really watch movies. Not to say that I've never seen movies that have taken a higher moral ground and I enjoy them or stuff like that. But I just don't give a shit. You know, if it's all bad stuff or whatever. I
kind of care because I don't know, man. I don't have kids, but I don't know. I'm not too much. I mean, there could be some stupid movies and I don't care about them, but. That's kind of why I didn't enjoy it. It was just, it was just all bad. And I personally didn't. I wanted to find something positive, more positive to think.
See, as far as like the kids, like my kids would definitely not watch this movie. So no, there's no Sean recommends that his kids watch it.
When they grow up, and if they want to, they will.
Right, but I watched this movie probably when I was like 10 years old.
Right.
It was different back then. Like, or just, it was different for me. You know, my family structure, like I watched stuff that I think we've talked about this before. Like I've watched stuff that I probably shouldn't have watched at the age I watched them.
And then, kids watch. Oh, it's so cool. We got to go get ourselves a gun. Or like, cool, man. Did you see how he shot the cop? I don't know. Of course, it's not like.
I think there's worse movies out.
What's that?
I think there's worse movies to give that kind of impression than Over the Edge. I don't think anybody than the three guys in this Google Hangout right now are putting any effort into watching this movie.
I agree.
Well, Rob might. I understand exactly what Steve's saying. I want, with this kind of movie, at the end, for there to be hope of some manner of speaking. The only saving grace I'll say to this movie was the music. Because it really was good music.
I'm with Dore.
Had a good soundtrack. Well, yeah. I'm with you on that, but I like the movie itself. Put it this way. If I had to take this movie or watch Top Secret again, I would watch this again.
How about Top Gun?
This movie.
How come you guys don't like Top Gun?
Well,
I don't
look,
like Top
I'll
Gun.
I'll just say, I have no inkling to watch Top Gun since its inception. I might actually like it. We're not going to know for, thank goodness, 90 episodes.
Why not? But why don't you guys like them?
I'll just say I'm almost shocked at Sean saying he likes this movie because from beginning to end, there wasn't a lot that really happened. It was just get high, disrespect parents, get high, go to a party, get high, get beat up, find a gun, get high.
Right.
Go to another party, get high. And it was like, to me, it was almost insanity at the fact that more kids didn't just randomly die from like overdoses and everything else.
Well, then let me ask Sean, did you want to do this just because you remember it from when you were a kid? Or did you?
Oh, yeah. Look, I don't love this movie, but I don't. Like, you have an obvious distaste for this movie. Like, I'm just like, and when I say, like, watch this over Top Secret, I'm just going, if I'm flipping channels, and I only have two, and there's Top Secret and Over the Edge on, I'll watch Over the Edge. Top Secret, yes, stuff that happened, and it was funny, but I don't remember seeing it as a kid. And when I did watch it, I laughed a lot at scenes, but then I was like, all right, I'm fine if I never see it again. And same with this movie. But yeah, I just remembered it as a kid and it just stuck in my head. I mean, I didn't go crazy pulling guns out and doing all that stuff as a kid. But. So yeah, I'm not trying to fight. Like, everyone that listens should watch this movie. Yeah. It's great. You should watch it because you just listened to a podcast about it. But, and give us your feedback. Let us know what you think about it if you liked it. But I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I could picture wanting to watch movies again that I remember parts as a kid, and I kind of want to see it again. I could totally get into that.
Yeah,
but it's just unfortunate that it was this movie.
I guess my point is, like, when I watch something, it's either I get into it for whatever reason, or I just don't. I don't need to have. I don't need like a. Something good to happen or to have a message behind the movie, you know. I just, well,
and that's what I was saying.
If it does, and I enjoy it, that's fine.
That's what I was saying. The main reason I understand what you're saying is, I can watch a pointless movie, but to me, it almost has to be a comedy because that's how I'm entertained. So with you, you're okay with watching this movie because, I guess, drama, in some shape or form, is what you find entertaining. I mean, the drama, no, the conflict.
I mean, I like drama, comedy. It's really because I just remember seeing it on HBO. I don't know. I just saw it on HBO as a kid. And
I don't have to have, there doesn't actually have to have a message in the movie
for me. That was just one of the reasons I didn't like it. If I'm entertained by a movie and it's a pointless movie, then I'm fine with that too, as long as I'm entertained. But
right,
I guess this was just another point for me to pick on this movie.
And I'll just say, if I turn on the TV and I only have two channels and it's this movie or Top Secret, I'm probably taking a nap.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch either, because
you know, honestly, I like Top Secret a lot, but I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it.
No. In fact, Top Secret was much better as a kid. I wouldn't watch it again. I would not watch it again. If like Sean, I'm with you on Top Secret. When I watched it this last time, I just basically remembered everything that happened, didn't laugh my butt off, and probably won't watch it again for 20 years.
Oh, and I feel I'm the same with this. Like, I don't think I'll watch it again, but I still enjoyed it. I liked the movie, right. But I probably won't be watching it again either. I mean, there's probably a few that will, like Cloak and Dagger. Wow. Of course, I love that movie. It's a great movie. You know, Smoking the Bandit, I'll even watch that again. That was funny. It's still funny. It was just different comedy. It was funny.
What was the burger again? The Demon Burger?
Diablo?
Diablo.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, don't talk about
give
burgers.
Me a Diablo and a Dr.
Don't
Pepper.
Don't talk about food.
I'm sorry for that rat hole, but that was just good.
And even Last Starfire, that's a good movie. That's in my library. I watched that.
I'll just say, like Sean said, if I walk through my living room and this is on the television set and my kids are in the room, I'm diving to the remote. Diving to the remote to turn this off.
But we have parental on ours, so like anything that has a rating, you gotta put a PIN number in. So it's a pain in the ass for me.
Yeah.
But there's a good I mean, it's, you know, what do they say? With freedom comes
freedom.
I don't know what it is. No, like responsibility or whatever. You know, so I don't know what it is. Like, there's some saying, like, if I wanna monitor what the kids are gonna watch, then
wait, what is that saying? David knows it. He said it a bunch of times.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Is that what you were thinking of?
Yeah, because that's not freedom.
We'll discuss after the show. I'm getting it wrong, but basically saying like if I want to like monitor what they're gonna watch. All right, so thanks for listening. And next time, I'll throw back.
Well, what are we doing
podcast.
Next week? You gotta tell people.
Yeah, so we're done with this one. We're gonna flush over the edge down. Next week, you picked this one, right, Dor? This is the movie you brought up. So I'm going to let you tell everybody what we're watching.
Starts with an A, Dor.
A?
He's like, I don't remember. I don't remember.
Has Girl from Karate Kid in it.
Oh, the babysitting movie. What's it called?
Yeah.
Epic Babysitting? What's it called?
Oh, I can't remember what it's called.
He acts like he doesn't know, even though he's the one. Even though he's the one who's like,
well,
hey, guys.
My wife was talking about it like 2 minutes earlier.
Hey, guys, I was talking to my wife the other night, and there was this really good movie I remember as a kid.
It wasn't like that, Sean.
Adventures in Babysitting is what we're watching.
No, seriously, me and my wife talked about it maybe a half an hour earlier.
I'm looking forward to that one. That was funny.
I can't remember that movie either.
I don't really remember it. I do remember Elizabeth Shue.
Really big
her.
Shoe.
But I don't really remember the movie, other than I think one of the kids wears a weird hat the whole movie or something.
The girl I remember had some hat, mask, hood
something.
Fetish thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I actually watched this, I think, last year, and I think it held up. So.
Mm.
What, do you know what year it is?
85.
We discussed it.
I don't know. 80, I'm just guessing.
No. 87, maybe? I think it's like 87.
Close to the borderline.
I don't think I've seen this movie since 87. I don't even think I've seen the whole movie, to be quite honest.
I think it was released in Denmark in 85. And then, because movies were different.
I think you're right,
movies were very different back then.
87. 87 is the
year. Yeah, so that's the year 87. All right. So that's going to be next week's episode. I'm sure everyone's chomping at the bit to hear that one. But, I'm excited to do it too. I'm sure it'll be a good episode, Dor. Good choice.
I hope there's some kids shooting up cars and stuff.
I bet you there is a kid shooting something.
Probably.
I don't know. I just know at least one of the kids has a recognizable face, but I don't even know who anything. I just know one of the kids has a recognizable face.
I just remember Elizabeth Shue. That's it.
We're the big shoe.
So I'm assuming you guys have nothing else you want to add about Over the Edge, Steve?
No. I pretty much said everything I want to about that movie and probably won't ever see it again.
Well, I'm hoping that you'll get over your anger at me for making you watch that movie.
I'm not angry at you. It was a good experiment.
But, so yeah, that's going to be next week's Adventures in Babysitting. If you'd like to leave us a comment on iTunes, that'd be greatly appreciated. And you can follow us on at Throwback Review on Twitter. And I'd like to say thanks to Pixel 8 for the intro and outro music in each episode. You can find more of his stuff at soundcloud.com/RetroPeachy. Dor, what do you want to say to close out the episode?
I had to bookmark the movie because I was going to forget the name again. Podnuts.com for more of me. Thank everybody for downloading. Thanks everybody for subscribing. If you think this is any good at all, please rate us and please let other people know about the show.
Thanks, man. It's awesome. How about you, Steve?
You can find out more about me at stevecherubino.com.
All right. And for me, you can just go to throwbackreviews.com. And you know what? If you want to email the show, throwbackreviews@gmail.com, let us know what you thought of this movie. If you ended up going back and watching it, I think it was on YouTube. You can find it. So let us know. But until next time, thanks for listening.